Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach. Lashana Tova, a very happy new year to you all. Hallelujah. We continue the teachings on Tishrei 1, which is the sixth day of creation. I ended up pausing the previous audio before I reached the time limit. And so I've had to continue the audios later on. So I'm just going to continue from where I stopped. I was reading from the Legends of the Jews, section 1, part 1. And at the moment, I'm within verse 57. So I'll just continue reading concerning the Adane Sade, which, or briefly Adam, which is also known as the man of the mountain, is an animal that was created on the sixth day of creation. It's not mentioned in Genesis 1, obviously, because the details of the animals created isn't given. But if you want to know the details of what was created on that day, this is what we are reading about. So Tishrei 1, Monday, the 26th of September, 2022. Tishrei 1 has fallen on Monday, 26th September, this year, 2022. Now let's continue. No creature may venture to approach him within the radius of his cord, for he seizes and demolishes whatever comes in his reach. To kill him, one may not go near to him. The navel string must be severed from a distance by means of a dart, D-A-R-T. And then he dies amid groans and moans. Once upon a time, a traveler happened in the region where this animal is found. He overheard his host consult his wife as to what to do to honor their guest, and resolved to serve our man as he heard. Thinking he had fallen among cannibals, the stranger ran as fast as his feet could carry him from his entertainer, who sought vainly to restrain him. Afterward, he found out that there had been no intention of regaling him with human flesh, but only one with the flesh of the strange animal called man, or Adam in Hebrew. So there's an animal called man in English, but Adam in the Hebrew language, the language of creation. As the man of the mountain, in quotes, is fixed to the ground by his navel string, so the barnacle goose is grown to a tree by its bill. So we are now moving on to a different animal. There's one animal called the man, or the man of the mountain, and he is tied by the navel string to the ground where he stays. So everything he needs is within his reach where he is tied up. Then there's also an animal called the barnacle goose, which is grown to a tree by its bill. The bill is the beak, I believe. It is hard to say whether it is an animal and must be slaughtered to be fit for food, or whether it is a plant and no ritual ceremony is necessary before eating it. This is very interesting. So the barnacle goose, when you look at it, it's difficult for you to tell whether it's an animal that you can eat when slaughtered and cooked, or whether it's a plant that you don't even need to cook, you can just easily eat. That's very interesting. This shows you how the level of creativity of Yahweh. And this is why the Bible tells us that he can do things beyond our imagination. Things we cannot think of. He is beyond our wildest dreams. Many things have come into existence. This goes to show us that we can certainly not know God through and through. the Creator God. We cannot know Him through and through. There will always be a surprise at some point, something we've not heard of or seen. When I started reading this book, The Legends of the Jews, I felt like it was so mind-blowing. You know, the things that are written in here, these are definitely His secrets, and I just praise Yah for being able to discover them. Hallelujah. Now let's continue by reading about the phoenix bird. You know, they always talk about the rising of the phoenix. We did a teaching on this and we wanted to share it in relation to America, but unfortunately we didn't get around to doing so, and now it's a bit difficult because the messages we wrote have turned to computer code language that we don't know how to translate from. But yeah, this bird is crucial to understand because the enemy uses it a lot to attribute perfection, and you know, liken that to other things like America. You know, this is their major symbol, and nobody ever wonders why they chose this bird. So let's read about it now. From verse 58. All right, let's start reading about the phoenix. From verse 59 of Legends of the Jews, section 1, part 1. The phoenix is also called the guardian of the terrestrial sphere. The guardian of the terrestrial sphere. So terrestrial is basically to do with land, to do with the earth. He runs with the sun on his circuit. So as the sun rises from the east, so does the phoenix rise. As the sun sets in the west, so does the phoenix set. So he keeps following the sun in its circle. And he spreads out his wings and catches up the fiery rays of the sun. So he runs with the sun in his circuit, and he spreads out his wings and catches up the fiery rays of the sun. So you hear the fiery rays. We've already learned on the fourth day of the week that the sun releases fire when, it takes in fire and it releases fire on one side of it. And according to Yah, the sun has four sides, which means it's some kind of prism, circular prism with four sides. Hallelujah. So if the phoenix were not there to intercept them, as in the fiery rays of the sun, neither man nor any other animate being would keep them alive. Okay, you know what? I've gone too far ahead. I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse 58. Among the birds, the phoenix is the most wonderful. When Eve, Hava, gave all the animals some of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the phoenix was the only bird that refused to eat thereof, and he was rewarded with eternal life. When he has lived 1,000 years, his body shrinks and the feathers drop from it until he is as small as an egg. This is the nucleus of the new bird. Hallelujah. So they're trying to pass a message here that among the birds, there was one bird that rejected the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which means Hava. We've already shared this in the past. Hava shared the fruit round to all the animals. She did not just share it with Adam only. She shared it with various animals as well, because she felt so guilty and she felt jealous that she was the only imperfect being among them, and she did not want to die alone. So she spread death to each and every part of Yah's creation. All right, let's continue reading from verse 59, which we had already started reading before. The phoenix is also called the guardian of the terrestrial sphere. He runs with the sun on his circuit, and he spreads out his wings and catches up the fiery rays of the sun. If he were not there to intercept them, neither man nor any other inanimate object would keep alive. On his right wing, the following words are inscribed in huge letters, about 4,000 stadia high. Neither the earth produces me, nor the heavens, but only the wings of fire. So you hear that? This is what is inscribed on one of the on the right wing. Neither the earth produces me, nor the heavens, but only the wings of fire. Let's read that again. Neither the earth produces me, nor the heavens, but only the wings of fire. Hallelujah. I find this very interesting because it seems, I mean, yeah, it seems to be passing the message here that the sun, the phoenix bird is made out of the fire that we see in the sun. And that is why it is able to take in the rays of from the fiery rays of the sun. That's part of my understanding of this. The other thing is, you know that there are people that worship the sun and they call it the sun god. There's a way this is related to, you know, the worship of the sun. Those people that understand what the sun is made of, which of course is the fallen angels that led human beings to worship the sun, they have understanding of this, the phoenix bird. There's something I want to say, but it's now skipped my mind because the baby called my attention. So I'll just leave it at that. If I remember it properly, I will say it. So let's just carry on for now. His food consists of the manna of heaven and the dew of the earth. So the manna of heaven and the dew of the earth is what the phoenix bird eats. His excrement is a worm, that's interesting, whose excrement in turn is the cinnamon used by kings and princes. This is interesting. So the excrement of the phoenix bird is a worm, and the excrement of that worm is cinnamon. And cinnamon is very healthy for us. But yes, princes and kings tend to use it quite a lot, but I'm not sure what they use it for. That's something I would have to look into. But it tends to be associated with them. Enoch, who saw the phoenix birds when he was translated, describes them as flying creatures, wonderful and strange in appearance, with the feet and tails of lions and the heads of crocodiles. Their appearance is of a purple color like the rainbow. Their size 900 measures. Their wings are like those of angels, each having 12, and they attend the chariot of the sun and go with him, bringing heat and dew as they are ordered by Yah, God. So this is what they look like, and the only way we could get this description was through Enoch, Hanok, to dedicate. That's what Hanok means. So only Hanok is able to give us a description of the phoenix bird, which means it's not an easy bird to just come across in this day and age. And therefore, those who have the description of it have only got it from the lost books of the Bible. In the morning, when the sun starts on his daily course, the phoenixes and the chalkidri sing, and every bird flaps its wings, rejoicing the giver of light, and they sing a song at the command of the Lord among reptiles, the salamander and the shamir are the most marvelous. The salamander originates from a fire of myrtle wood, which has been kept burning for 7 years steadily by means of magic arts. So we're now moving on from the phoenix bird, and we seem to be moving on to the salamander. The salamander is a very important plant, as we will discover. In fact, it's important for every believer to know about it, because it can be really useful in tough times. It has saved a lot of people's lives over the years. So let's keep reading. The salamander originates from a fire of myrtle wood. Remember myrtle, the word myrtle is associated with Queen Esther, because her name is Hadassah in Hebrew, her original name. And it means myrtle tree. And that tree has a very good fragrance. They say it's not a very tall tree, but it spreads out and is very attractive. So that very tree, the fire of that tree, the fire of the myrtle wood is what the salamander was made out of by Yahweh. And it says that the fire has been kept burning for 7 years steadily by means of magic arts. Not bigger than a mouse. See, you hear that? The salamander is not bigger than a mouse. It yet is invested with peculiar properties. One who smears himself with its blood is invulnerable. You hear that? This is what I meant by, this is something that we all believers in Yahushua HaMashiach need to know about, because in the coming times we can use the salamander blood to protect ourselves from things that are around us, basically dangerous things. So let's continue reading. One who smears himself with its blood is invulnerable, and the web woven by it is a talisman against fire. The web woven by the salamander is a talisman against fire. So you hear that? The web woven by the salamander can protect somebody from fire, from being burnt by fire. So the salamander is really good, and this is one of the reasons it was used to protect King Hezekiah. Is it King Hezekiah? I think King Hezekiah. Let's keep reading. The people who lived at the deluge, so that's the deluge, the great flood that happened during Noah's time, boasted that were a fire flood to come, they would protect themselves with the blood of the salamander. So when they told them that there's going to be a great deluge or a deluge, they assumed that it's going to be a fire flood. So they believed they can protect themselves with the blood of the salamander. But they got it wrong. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 60. King Hezekiah owes his life to the salamander. His wicked father, King Ahaz, had delivered him to the fires of Moloch. And he would have been burnt had his mother not painted him with the blood of the salamander, so that the fire could do him no harm. So the people of old knew Yah's secrets. They understood his creation and how he made things to work for us and around us, or against us. So they understood things even better than us. And this is what Yahweh is trying to get us back to doing. He wants us to stop defending on the governments of this world in order to survive. He wants us to learn to be more independent and go back to the way he formed the world. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 61. The shamir was made at twilight on the sixth day of creation. The shamir, it's an animal of some kind. I'm not sure what it is. There's a lot to learn in this section. The sixth day of the week, there's so much to read and learn about. So it's going to be quite a long section, longer than expected. Okay, the shamir is a worm that Yahweh created that can cut through iron, can cut through diamonds, can cut through a stone. So it can disintegrate stones, iron, and diamond. And as we're going to learn, one of the purposes Yahweh created it was to build the temple, the holy temples, and the tabernacles with holiness. He did not want, he did not want iron to be used when building. So he preferred that the iron used, I don't know how to explain it. You know what, let's keep reading. Let me just stop explaining and let's read. The shamir was made at twilight on the sixth day of creation, together with other extraordinary things. It is about as large as a barley corn. So twilight is to do with evening, I think it's evening. So it's hard to tell whether it was morning or evening, but twilight is the time when the sun is about to rise. It's beginning to rise, so it's not dark, it's not so bright. So it's either in the morning or in the evening. That's when the shamir animal, or it's a worm, was formed. So let's keep reading. It is about as large as a barley corn, and it possesses the remarkable property of cutting the hardest of diamonds. For this reason, it was used for the stones in the breastplate worn by the high priest. So whatever the high priest won, they used it. They used the worm to shape them, the shamir. First, the names of the 12 tribes were traced with ink on the stones to be set into the breastplate. Then the shamir was passed over the lines, and thus they were graven. The wonderful circumstance was that the friction wore no particles from the stones. That's interesting. So it cut stone without releasing particles. The shamir was also used for hewing into shape the stones from which the temple was built, because the law prohibited iron tools to be used for the work in the temple. That is what I was trying to say earlier on, that Yahweh, because we have talked about this before, that Yahweh is, even though he created iron, he does not like iron to be used much by human beings on earth, especially with regards to things that are, you know, holiness materials. He also would prefer if we don't use any iron materials within our homes. So this is something to take note of, and remember and keep in mind. Hallelujah. So he did write the book that they were supposed to follow when building the temple, and he made it clear that by law, by his law, Yahweh's law, they are not supposed to use iron to build the temple. The shamir may not be put into an iron vessel for safekeeping, nor in any metal vessel. You hear that? No iron vessel, no metal vessel. It would burst such a receptacle asunder. Wow. As soon as it's placed within a metal vessel or an iron vessel, that vessel is just going to burst. It is kept wrapped up in a woolen cloth, and this in turn is placed in a lead basket filled with barley bran. I need to bring this audio to a close before I can continue. As I said, it's quite a long section. There's so much to go through. So I'm going to round up here for now. We'll continue in the next audio. Shabbat shalom, hag sameach, and lashana tova. Remain blessed.